I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, indeed. And the guy who's going to help you keep it running is ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, where that Grand Avenue is just beautifully lit up.
It is. We're all decorated for Christmas and ready to go. They had the Grand Meander last week, and so the season has kicked off in full bloom.
Now, do all the guys at Lloyd's decorate their bays there when they're...
Not at all.
No, it's probably would get in the way, I would think.
It is. You know, we're getting so crowded there. We're trying to figure out how to lay everything out perfectly so there's room for everything.
Well, I want to talk to you about a couple of new folks there. But in the meantime, I want to alert our listeners. If you have any kind of a car care question, if you've got problems with your car, truck, or van, folks are already calling in. And before you bring it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, for some repair, call Dan or send Dan a text. He'll give you some idea of what might be ailing with that vehicle before you bring it in to get repaired. Analyze it kind of on the radio. Sometimes it's kind of tough, though, because you're here and they're there. And you can't really, you don't have any diagnostics.
Yeah.
But
not too much that we haven't heard before.
I'm sure that's true.
You know, most of it's pretty common stuff.
Call us, text us, number 651-989-9226, or again, you can text Dan at 81807. Not one, but two. You have two new technicians at Lloyd's.
Tell me
about it.
Well, we've been talking about it, the upside of the trades and all that the trades have to offer, encouraging young people to go into the business. Well, I was able to find a couple of seasoned professionals. Ryan Trainer and Mike London both started for me in the past couple of weeks, and they've been in the business for a while, and they're you know, A-plus techs, and they have both started and are working and fit in really nicely with my group. So we're excited to have both Ryan and Mike join the team.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, lucky you and lucky them.
Well, and we're at full again. We're back at full employment, so that's encouraging.
Well, you and I were talking about that, and we've talked about that during our home improvement show. We are in need of tradespeople.
Well, I feel lucky to be full because we're lucky who we are. I feel like you know, we're kind of, as a business, we're at the top of our game, and so I'm glad that these guys are willing to commit to us. But there's a shortage of technicians, of carpenters, of electricians, of computer techs, you know, low voltage, the people that install all of the you know, alarm systems and television stuff, that sort of stuff. There's a shortage of all of that. So
a lot of opportunity out there.
There's a lot of opportunity. Yeah. So and it doesn't take 8 years of college to get into.
Or debt.
Takes a lot of on-the-job training, but it does not take the kind of college education that a lot of jobs do take.
Yeah, for sure. All right, call Dan, text Dan, and keep in mind that Dan will be here for about another 30 minutes, so it's not going to be the entire hour as we make way for Jack Ferrell's Wine Chat. So call Dan or text Dan. Let's go to the phones, Dan. John in Bloomington is up here. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I want to know, mechanically speaking, if you will, the difference between all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive.
Good question.
Yeah, people have talked to me about that. They ask that question a lot. And on a four-wheel drive vehicle, which would be like, you know, a pickup truck, one that's really designed for it, instead of having a differential between the front and the rear wheels, it has a transfer case which actually locks out. The front and the rear wheels are all turning at the same speed.
I see.
And that's why, of course, on dry pavement with a four-wheel drive vehicle, if you go to turn a corner, it bucks and fights you because the wheels need to turn at different speeds under that condition. In an all-wheel drive car, which most of the SUVs and cars actually, they have a differential in the middle, which doesn't give you as good of traction, but it still gives you you know, four-wheel drive, sort of. You know, it. But there's room for slip. So in other words, if when you're turning and so forth, the wheels are allowed to turn at different speeds, and so it is much smoother than with a four-wheel drive vehicle. Four-wheel drive vehicle is more of a, you know, towing pickup truck sort of deal.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we've had that question before. Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. All right, David is calling from Olivia, Minnesota with a question. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm getting ready to store my Suburban for the winter, and I've heard that I should put the – I've got a machine shed with just dirt, not cement, and I've heard that there's an advantage to putting tires on a board. And in addition to isopropyl alcohol, what else should I do to prepare it for the winter?
And actually, if you're going to putting it on a dirt floor, I also would put a tarp down and keep the moisture under.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because otherwise that floor is damp all the time, and you know damp and metal cars do not go well together. So
good point.
Yeah. So I would put a tarp down, but that's about it. It's just for the winter, and luckily we're into December already, so it's not that long a time. We just talked last week. I had, by mistake, my car stored at a parking ramp out in Colorado for 2 full months, and didn't do anything because I wasn't planning on storing it for that long. But when I got back out there, everything was just fine. The tires were up, and the oil was full, and the battery was fine, and it started right up. So not isopropyl alcohol. That's not what you need. The gasoline that we buy has alcohol in it already, so you don't need that. But what you do need is a gas stabilizer.
Like Stable.
Stable or
Seafoam
makes one. And there's a whole bunch of them, of different manufacturers. But a gas stabilizer, and it'll be made for storage. So put that in the gas. And I think other than that, you should – and if the tires leak at all – two more things.
Yeah.
If the tires leak at all, make sure that you overinflate them so they're not flat when you go to get it in the spring. And the last thing is, if you're storing it in an outdoor building, take the battery out of it.
Oh, take it out.
Yeah, do not, or keep it charged up. A dead battery will freeze, and if you freeze a dead battery, you wreck it. So
it's done.
Don't let that happen. So take the battery out and store it in a cool, well-ventilated place, but a place where it will not freeze.
That's a good idea, David, about the tarp, though.
Yeah.
Put that down. Cover up that dirt. All right, we'll have to take a quick break. We don't have to. We want to.
Well, that's how we stay here. So we really do have to.
That's right. 651-989-9226. A line is open if you want to use it for your car care question for Dan. Otherwise, text him, and we'll come back with those text questions next at 81807. It's 14 degrees in the Twin Cities. A little fog and mist out there yet. Later on today, we'll see partly sunny skies. Highs near 24. And right now, air is calm. Although, Dan, you said when you were coming in here, the air was was not calm. But again, you're walking through a lot of buildings that kind of compress that air.
I had just heard you say the wind is calm, and I got out of my car, and the wind, you know, between these buildings is blowing, and it's always drafty and windy down here.
So I
thought, that's not true, Denny. It's cold.
Right.
It's windy down here.
I stand corrected. All right. Good morning, 7:23 Central Time. We're in the midst of our car care show around every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Denny Long here with Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Now, that's on Grand Avenue, but where exactly on Grand?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give a call this morning. Nick will be there, who we all know. You all know.
Sure.
At 651-228-1316.
The Jarhead Nick.
Yeah, Jarhead
Nick. Right. So I want to get that straight.
I'll tell him you said that.
I do that. I tell you, I want to get to some text messages. By the way, that text number 81807. If you prefer to call Dan, there is a line open, 651-989-9226. Like Jim is calling in from Isani. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I heard you mention something about batteries, and I don't think I was reading something at the same time, but I don't think you mentioned how they should. I'll tell you what happened to my lady friend. She's got a big diesel truck that she bought two great big expensive batteries for it from like Batteries Plus, I believe it was. And they put them in the basement because they, for the winter, you know, they weren't using them. And I didn't know if they had a charge in them when she bought them or not, but she didn't put any charge in them. And when they went to use them next spring, they were totally worthless. And therefore, you have to have some kind of power in those batteries. You have to charge them occasionally, you know, keep the charge in them. Otherwise, they will go bad. And these are brand new ones, you know, even did it. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Is that true?
It's true. They do need to be charged up when you store them. If they are fully charged, you can store them for several months in a cool place, but don't let them freeze. And like he says, don't let them go dead. But they'll stay charged up for a long time if they're fully charged when you store them.
Very good. All right. Good comment. Appreciate that. Let's go to the text line. Here's one that came in earlier, looking to buy a used 2007 F-350, a 6-liter diesel with over 200,000 miles. What are the key items to check on a truck like that, they want to know?
You definitely have to have that inspected because everything about that truck is expensive, and it should be. They're big, heavy, rugged vehicles. The mileage wouldn't bother me too much. Diesels are certainly made to go that kind of miles, especially if they're highway miles. But make sure that you have all of the suspension and brakes and all of that sort of stuff checked on it because, brakes on that are very expensive to do.
Are they?
Yeah, and all the suspension, including the ball joints and all that sort of stuff on a 11-year-old vehicle could be worn and loose. And if that's the case, you need to know that going in because that's certainly going to affect the price of the vehicle. And then just like any used vehicle inspection, be sure that all the accessories and all that sort of stuff work. But look out for the stuff that's expensive. You want to know about that.
Okay, very good. Some of the texts that – remember we mentioned that we'd talk about the text that came in last week but we didn't get to. Is it okay to burn small amounts of mixed gas in cars just to use up lawnmower gas at the end of the season?
It is, and we do it all the time. I do it all the time.
Do you?
Yep. Mix it, just a little bit of mixture. Take your time getting rid of it. But to pour a little bit of that in the car is just fine.
You're going to have to help me on this. The 2015 Explorer Sport 54,000 miles CEL comes on. And vehicle goes into some sort of limp mode, happened twice and seems like it happens after the transmission shift.
Yeah, check engine light is coming
That's
on.
That's what that is.
Yeah, and that if you just bring that into your shop, they'll tell you what that's about. Some cars have that limp-in mode, and what it is it protects the vehicle from damaging itself under certain conditions. Not all cars do it, but some do. And what it does is it disables a whole bunch of things about the car, the transmission and the traction control. It limits the power, and what it's designed to is just to get you a short distance to a repair shop, so that you don't wreck the car more. In the process of getting it there. And like I say, not all cars have that limp-in mode, but some do. And it's actually quite annoying if you get stuck in it you're trying to get somewhere. But at any rate, that's what it's about. And if you take it in, they'll because the light's on, there'll be code stored, and they'll be able to tell you what that's about.
Narrow it down. If you want to send Dan a text, 81807. Here's another one. 2000 Ford Expedition 5.4 engine. The engine temp is in the normal range. The air coming out of the vents is warm but not hot. Doesn't warm up inside very well. Wondering what it could be.
Well, it's probably the thermostat. Yeah. The dash reading in the normal range might not be quite enough. So what we would do is hook it up to the scan tool, which gives us an actual temperature number that we can reference and see how warm the engine actually is getting. And it's probably not getting warm enough, which is affecting your gas mileage and things too. So take it in and get that fixed. You'll be much more comfortable gas mileage.
Speaking of which, just like you've always said, every time this time of year, it gets colder and the mileage per gallon goes down. I've been watching it.
It does.
It's sometimes pretty impactful too.
Yeah, like on my car, 25%, I'll bet.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite a bit lower.
Dan, we need to take a quick bottom of the hour break. We have more show to come. Dan's going to be here for about another 15 minutes, so don't wait. If you have a car care question, call it in at 651-989-9226 or send a text, and we'll get back to those too. 81807. And welcome back to our car care show here on CCO. Denny along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we have callers, we have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave today. Michael in Minneapolis, I believe. Yeah, Michael's the first up here. Thanks, Michael.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, thanks.
Good. My battery went out in my truck, and because it's an electric lock, I'm unable to get into it. What do you suggest?
Well, somewhere there's a keyhole, and in your key fob somewhere there's a key that you can find. You know, you can get out of the lock and or out of the key fob and put into the door lock. Usually it's in the driver's door. Sometimes there's one in the trunk, but if you look closely, you'll find a place to put a key. And if you can't find it, sometimes they're covered with a little plate, which would be a good thing because then it will have been protected from the elements. But if you look on the internet, if you do an internet search, you'll find out, first of all, where to find the key in your fob, and secondly, where to put it in the car. And then you can get the car open, and then you can get it hooked up to a jump or a battery charger, and you'll be back in business.
Okay, there you go, Michael. Thank you. Chris is calling in from Buffalo with a question. Chris, you're on with Dan.
Yeah, good morning. We've got a 2010 Dodge Grand Caravan, and we used to keep getting the gas cap code, you know, that it's loose, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I bought a new one, an aftermarket one. It doesn't seem to really fit as good. The warning's gone away. It's come on occasionally. But would I have been better off getting an original one, and can you still get one for a 2010?
Yeah, you sure can get an original one. Yes, you would do best to get an original one, and that might not be the extent of what's wrong with it. What you're getting a code for what is called the evaporative system, and it's the system that seals to keep gas vapors from leaking out into the environment. And when it comes to your gas tank and all the lines and all the vapor, all the vacuum stuff that operates it, there's a whole bunch of places that it could be leaking from. The gas cap is just one of those whole bunch of places. So I would do exactly what you're suggesting. I would go get an original equipment gas cap and put it on. Make sure that the sealing surface, you know, where the gas cap actually seals on the filler neck, is clean and not scratched, or, you know, doesn't have a groove in it or anything like that. And if it's a nice clean surface for the cap to work against, then see what happens. If the light continues to come on, then you'll have to take it in and get some help, because we actually have machines where we'll hook smoke up to the evaporative system, and it's actually a kind of a neon smoke. We wear special glasses, and we can see where the smoke is leaking out from. And quite honestly, pretty often we see that it's rodent damage, where the mice have gotten up and chewed on the plastic vacuum lines. I don't know why they like it, but they do. There's something in it that they like to eat, and so they chew on that. And somebody told me last week somebody mentioned it in wiring. There's something in the wiring that they like to chew on, a protein or something that's good for them. So at any rate, but there's a whole bunch of places that could cause the light to come on. So if this doesn't take care of it, you'll have to get some help.
All right, very good. Thanks, Chris. Let's grab some text messages before you have to get out of here, Dan. 2010 Ford Edge, 130,000 miles, was working fine, and now when in gear, will only go forward and reverse a couple hundred feet, and then it stalls out. Do you have a solution?
No, well, not without – that's, you know, that's kind of a big problem, and that could be a lot of things. The process would be to find out what it's running out of. Is it running out of spark, or is it running out of fuel? I would guess it's running out of fuel, but if that's the case, you know, you'd need to have a fuel gauge on there and see what the problem is. But that's not something that jumps right at me and says, "Oh, I've seen that 100 times before." That sounds like kind of a specialty problem you have going on.
Time for a visit to the shop.
Yeah, I think so, or probably from the tow truck.
Probably
that's the only way you can get there.
Texter says, why does my BMW only need oil changes when it tells you, yet my Ford dealer wants the Explorer in every 5,000 miles? Both use synthetic.
Well, your BMW has condition-based analysis in the computers. It's just a more sophisticated thing. They keep track of if you drive on the highway, if you drive in town, if it idles a lot, if, you know, they keep track of all the different conditions. And they're both based somewhat on mileage. It's not like BMW doesn't keep track of mileage at all, but it takes some other things into account as well. And there's a lot of cars now that have a light that comes on that tells you when to change your oil. And in some cases, I trust them. In some cases, I don't. And another difference is with the BMW, it takes, you know, 8 quarts of oil.
Mm.
And many of the Fords will only take 4 or 5 or less. And so that's another big reason that it needs to be changed more often.
I see. Interesting.
But in all cases, in a worst-case scenario, if you use the light, you can trust the light. It's for sure the outside edge of how far you can go between oil changes.
Right.
But if you wait for the light to come on, your car will do just fine. It's designed for that.
All right. Does setting a battery on cement drain the battery?
I think that's kind of an old fairy tale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not that the power goes out of the battery. It's that, you know, it stays a much cooler temperature, and I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard that before, and so I guess if in doubt, set it on a piece of cardboard.
All right.
And in fact, maybe you should anyway, because if ever you have let battery acid leak onto your concrete floor, it destroys it.
It'll really etch it.
It etches it terribly.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to store it on something, and even best of all, you should store it on, like, in a plastic dish or something of some sort, or a plastic tray that
which
will actually
won't
capture
hurt anything.
Won't hurt anything. Yeah. So that's really what you should do. So good question, and it sparked a whole bunch of thoughts in my mind about what to do with that.
Almost out of time, Dan. I want to grab a couple more texts, then I want to alert our listeners. I'll print the rest of these out that we didn't get to, and again, we'll start the show next week. But as I'm gathering this, let's mention, too, the two new technicians that you have at Lowe's.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up again. Yeah, we hired two new technicians in the past 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. It actually was a long interview process looking for the right people. But we came up with Ryan Trainer and Mike London. They're both from the St. Paul area, and they're seasoned professionals, have been in the market in the area for a long time, fixing cars, and they both work there now, and they fit right in, so they
feel
great. So we're glad to have Ryan and Mike join our team.
Two good additions.
Yeah.
One more question, then I'll have to let you go. About every third time I fill my 2011 Grand Cherokee with gas, the check engine light goes on. It always goes off on its own, usually when the tank gets below half. Any idea why? It's particularly annoying in the winter because I can't use the remote start in cell mode.
Oh, well, it's exactly what we were talking about was the evaporative system, you know, that system that checks to make sure that your vapors aren't leaking out into the environment, that's probably failed. And when you fill the car, it has an effect on that.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I think if you take it in, first of all, the fact that the check engine light has been on means that there'll be a code stored.
Oh, okay,
and
which is good.
Yeah, so if they go after that code, they'll solve your problem, and you definitely need your car to start from the cell mode. That's a big deal.
Yes. Otherwise, why have it?
Why? And this is the prime time of year. This is when you want it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a number at Lloyd's to get in touch with you guys.
Give us a call there today. We're at 651-228-1316. Nick the Jarhead will pick it.
We'll
take
help you
your
out
call.
There. All right. Good guy. All right, Dan. Thanks. We'll see you 1 week from today.
Thank you.
Thanks for your help.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.